Now, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. The choice is yours.
Three the hard way, three the hard way, three the hard way.
You want to do it the easy way or the hard way?
With over 30 years of combined wrestling experience and knowledge, nearly every bit of it Woody's, Georgia Wrestling History presents Three the Hard Way.
It's a shame. It's a sin. I don't care. That's the way it's always been. Drive that flame. Pack it in. I'll tell you something. Just don't need to rise again. But I've been told. But I've been told.
Welcome once again to Three the Hard Way. I am Matt Hankins, and I'm being joined right now, in addition to my co-host, Big Wood. I heard a familiar voice, but one I don't know as much. Scott Hensley, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I mean, it's a Sunday afternoon. You're on the phone. What do we owe the pleasure?
Well, I just wanted to come on and get some knowledge, and if I have any knowledge I can pass on, maybe pass that on and just talk some wrestling.
Good. I'm glad you're here, because I think what I have in mind kind of applies to you. It'll apply to me as well, and nothing applies to Woody except for, wrestling Abdullah the Butcher. Woody, are you on here with us yet?
Yes, sir. I'm hanging on.
There you are. All right. We are all in one accord. Right off the bat, we had planned to have both Boogie's Woogie today, Jimmy Valiant, though is still running a wrestling school, because why not, I guess? What else would I expect Jimmy Valiant to be doing on a Sunday afternoon? But we'll try to get that rescheduled again in the very near future and get both of those guys on and kind of chop it up with them. But in the absence of those two, I think that the three of us probably always have too much to say. So, boys, what was the weekend like? How many shows did you run?
Believe it or not, we just only ran one show this weekend. It had a pretty good little turnout. It was a decent little show. It had a few glitches, but all in all, it was a pretty decent show. Scott was there.
Yes, I was.
Scott,
was
give us your brutally honest opinion. I want to hear it all. Again, the theme of the show is always bad stuff about Woody.
He always hurts my feelings.
I really enjoyed the main event, which was Cyrus the Destroyer versus Moose. I thought it was two big powerhouse guys, and it was an unusual crowd, though, I will say. The crowd didn't really know anybody from anybody. There were maybe one or two fans there that sort of knew Moose, and one or two fans that sort of probably knew some of the DSCW/Georgia Premier guys. But basically, like, they didn't really react to anybody until about 3/4 of the way through the matches. And so it was an instance of the guys really having to win over the crowd and tell their stories. And I thought, really, for the most part, that they did.
It's a tough job when you're just having to really drag them along with you. I was at Peach State last night for Jimmy Rave versus Shane Marks, Chapter 2. And same thing with that. And, you know, one of the things with that match was both of us are fan favorites out there. And it was the first time Shane and I had been back down there in 6 months or so. Probably the longest we'd ever been away from any place that we worked fairly regularly. So it was a little odd in the beginning. And you know, it was kind of very similar to what you said, Scott. It was a very different crowd than I was used to. I would imagine that, you know, Peach State changed venues a couple times. And so maybe as they moved out to one place, they brought those people back to the fairgrounds with them. And they just weren't sort of the same old crowd that we were used to. But They didn't like the pacing of the match, and they're, oh, this is boring. Why don't you guys do something? I'm like, you know, I bet this changes by the end. I bet there's a different attitude here by the end of the match. And sure enough, that was the case. But before we get into sort of the topic of the day that I'm just going to spring on these other two because, you know, that's what I do. Booking on the fly. That is the thing that I think I might be in my tool bag. That one is the one that gets used the most for sure. But you mentioned, you know, people didn't quite – not a whole lot of people knew necessarily a lot about Moose. I don't think you're going to run into that problem next week, Woody. Is that still happening? I've been terrified.
Yeah.
I've been so worried.
Yeah, I'm everything's still a go no matter what all the naysayers say. Everything's still a go, man. We got one hell of a card lined up and some great matches. It's been keeping me on my toes the last 2 weeks. Actually, since the Rumble, man, my phone has not stopped. I've been demoting, pretty much promoting all my time into this, you know, and it's gonna be a great time, you know. AJ's still coming, as far as you know. That's a go.
How many matches would you have to do if you wanted to get every worker that's called you to want to be on the show on the card?
Man, I could do a year's worth of bookings probably, and not only that, I've had about 7 different vendors, you know, and photographers from everywhere, and different podcasts and media publications and whatnot. And I told them all, I said, I got to save that room for paying customers. I got a big budget this show.
Have you had to deal with any restrictions given the fact that AJ is currently employed by someone else, it would appear?
Yeah, no. Like I said, everything's still a go, and everything's smooth sailing, you know. So I'm sure he took care of all that, you know. So
yeah, well,
we're
keep our fingers crossed.
Woody, we're gonna still sell our knockoff AJ Styles T-shirts in the parking lot, right?
Yes, that's what we need to do. By the sounds of it. What Scott's talking about, you know, he's like the number one merch guy now, and it's just like, it's crazy, you know. I don't watch WWE. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. I don't watch. I just don't watch it. Every now and then I do, but I watched the Rumble for this. I wanted to see what happened, and my heart flooded a little bit. Say what?
I said you're one step above Bo James.
No, but I'm telling the truth.
That is one of those things. I still might complain sometimes, but Monday night I can't do anything without cutting that TV on. It has to be on, even if I'm working on something, doing this or that in the background, or doing whatever. I just need it on. It's just ingrained in me, but. It was very, and I mean, we've all been seeing AJ Styles on TV for the past decade. So, you know, seeing him on television is nothing new. I follow New Japan, and I dabble in ROH. So I've been, you know, it's not like I've missed him. But there was something very strange about seeing him walk out at the Royal Rumble. It was just odd. And then even further, I think it was even more so the next night on Raw with him in there with Chris Jericho. It was just strange, and it was the way that the crowd is reacting to him. I just hope it sticks. I hope that's just not, you know, oh, he's fresh here, and Orlando is sort of the smart mark capital of the world right now. I was having a conversation with someone about that just the other day, and it's just kind of where they all congregate with NXT there, and the fact that you can't throw a rock in Florida without hitting the promotion. I thought we had it bad here, but they're even, I think they might even be more congested than we are. And you hope that that thing kind of rolls out when they get to Omaha, Nebraska, or Columbus, Ohio. You hope the reaction is the same, but I bet that reaction will certainly be there come February 5th. And where that show's in Canton, right?
Yeah, it's a Buffington, old Buffington Elementary Gym. It's going to be at 8 o'clock. Doors are open at 7. That's going to be good. We got Gunner taking on KT Hamill. I'm really excited about that match.
That's happening there, too?
Yeah. And also, the match I really want to see is it's going to be the Georgia Street Fight with the good old boys in the movement. They're going to let it all hang out. So
they're going to kill each other.
Yeah
they're going to kill each other. I hope that they're alive at the end of it, because you can see those guys February 6th in the quiet confines of Porterdale, Georgia, where we do have a full service and stocked bar, if that's something that interests you. Slightly different atmosphere than what Woody's going to put on, but it's a good weekend to kind of double up.
I just hope they don't kill each other so that they can actually, you know, maybe watch the AJ Styles match also. So it's not a case of, well, we killed each other, and I don't know what happened with AJ.
I think you just put Styles first and get that out of the way. Get it over with. Get it over with.
Everybody leave on me then. I can't have that.
Get them done. Get that out of the way, and then let's let our guys get in there and eat. I think it's kind of been in my mind, and honestly, Scott, you kind of started this with, I saw a post on your Facebook feed of, can you name the guy in this picture? You know, somebody, some debonair so-and-so, mustachioed Romeo, wrestling Abdullah the Butcher, and it turns out to be none other than our own Big Wood. And that just got me thinking about, you know, I've known Woody a long time. For me, not a long time for him, but I don't know a whole lot about what he's accomplished. I know a little bit here and there. I know he's done some stuff, but that just got me thinking about credibility and what that truly means in the wrestling world. You know, are you a credible worker? Are you a credible booker? Are you a credible promoter? Hell, are you even a credible fan? Are you somebody who should even have an opinion on this? And I think all of us kind of come at that from different angles. So we'll start with you, Woody. Talk us through what led you to being in that Abdullah match.
Well, honestly, you know, I was really green and wet behind the ears about – I've been in the business of probably 3 years, 3 or 4 years, and one Sunday I get the call, and Larry Santana, which did the jobbers – I guess you might say, at the time when he booked a lot of the jobbers, which is so-called enhancement talent now, we need a guy to go. So I ended up, you know, hopping in the car and going with him, and then I ended up doing several spots with him between, you know, over the next 6 months, I've done several spots with him. But, you know, I was just at the right place at the right time and had a pair of boots and wheel travel.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you were pretty green. You went in there and you got beat up by a bona fide legend. But what do you think, what had you done that made them call you as opposed to calling somebody else?
Really, that's a good question. You know, I really lucked up on my first spot, you know. My first spot was a lucky, you know, I was at the right place at the right time. And then after that, you know, Jody takes a liking to certain people, and he took a liking to me, and he used me for a while. And then pretty much after that, they quit using enhancement talent or jobbers, whatever you want to call it. So that was started to be a thing in the past. It started fading away slowly but surely.
And you said a guy taking a liking to you, that is,
yeah.
I don't know how much that gets taught, but working the locker room is a skill that you cannot place a value on. I mean, you can take great bumps and you can do a beautiful drop kick, but if you just can't make people like you, or at least the right people like you, it's hard to get past, you know, any point where you are. And that, I think that's just a skill that is slowly eroding. I still see spots of it pop up where, you know, people know, and it's not about brown nosing or you know, going out and having a drink with the promoter or anything like that. It's just a way of carrying yourself. And again, that's that credibility. If you can establish yourself as just a decent human being for a while, man, that'll get you a long way. I certainly know that that's all I've got going for me.
It's a great act. Amen.
Well, you know, people skills is a thing that's kind of old school, and it's a thing of the past. But, you know, like you said, working the dressing room, the locker room, is a good thing to do, because, you know, you never know who's got connections or don't have connections. And when you sit over there in the corner with your iPod in your ear and you don't listen to what's going on around, you're going to miss something, or you might miss a chance just because you're doing your thing over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scott, you certainly have you have the toughest path to being considered credible, because you're the newest at this amongst the three of us. And, you know, you primarily, what I know you from is writing those recaps. And not only do you have to fight, you know, oh, you're a guy who doesn't wrestle, or you're a guy who doesn't run a show all the time, you are competing with Larry Goodman, who is the godfather in this area, in the space of writing those recaps. How has it been for you to people to react to you, to you having a very strong opinion and not being scared to say what you think? How has that been for you?
Well, you know, I just tell people, you know, I've gone to live shows since like 1994. My grandmother actually took me to a WCW house show in 94. The main event was Johnny B. Badd versus Max Payne. So real strong main event there. But
were you on the D? Was that the D loop?
Yeah, apparently. There was Robbie V versus Steve Regal. So that was awesome. And so I did get to meet Rob Van Dam after that show. It was awesome. But so that was one of the things that really hooked me on going to live shows. So, and then once I was able to drive, you know, I hit the road, and, you know, I've made road trips to Dayton, Ohio. I just ran up to Clarksville, Indiana for the Ted Petty. You know, I've gone to Florida and watched some shows. So as a fan, you know, I put more miles on my car as a fan than, you know, 85-90% of the workers. And I think that won me over to a lot of the workers. They think this guy gets around, this guy talks about wrestling, you know, whether they agree with my opinions or not. And then just the fact that, you know, I am a college-educated guy. I am I do have an MBA. And so, I mean, most of the things I talk about, whether you agree with my opinion or not, I at least think that I articulate it well online. And so I think that wins me over. And just being a friend of a friend, there cannot be enough said about that. And, of course, the guy that really gets me over is Ace Rockwell. Ace has always had my back. He's always treated me as a peer when I was just a fan. And just being somebody that he respects, or being somebody that, you know, Woody respects, assuming Woody respects me, but being somebody that other respected people respect, that's what sort of wins me over to to have any respect that anybody has for me.
Yeah, I think that is the thing that I'm always looking for first, is when somebody new is wanting to get booked, or, you know, somebody's just hanging around the show, I'm going to look at the company they keep. And if they're around people that I think are good people and that I can trust, then, yeah, they got a much better foot in the door. Then a guy who just shows up, or, oh my God, I was Woody and I was telling Woody about a guy who I'd been booking, who I thought he might like to book, and he was thinking of a different guy. But at any rate, the guy that Woody was thinking about, Woody, walk me through that resume again.
Oh yeah, so I get this resume from this gentleman, and it goes, hello, sirs. I am, it was something like, I am awesome and something to that effect. I can't remember. You know, it was pretty much talking to me in slang language, and there was nothing professional about it. I really liked the work, the crowd, and stuff like that.
It was D-A. He actually wrote D-A-C-R-O-W-D.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing that ever happened.
And I'm like, how can you take a guy like that serious that's not going to take his resume serious?
Yeah. If you can't sit with spell check for 20 minutes and just go through this thing. Again, credibility. How do you establish that credibility? And once you've gotten that credibility, how do you keep it? Because would y'all be under the opinion that it really can – one incident, one thing, and you can blow it all up?
Oh, very, very for sure. Because over my career, I've done that 2 or 3 times and had to rebuild that trust back with some certain people. But, you know, that one thing you can do, you know, you can show your butt one time, man, and you got to start all over, you know?
Yeah.
I think a great example of that is Steel Horse Vachon.
Mm-hmm.
So are you familiar with that, Matt?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Steel
horsing, yep.
Yes. I'm going to book that guy.
And it's exponentially more important in this time because that thing happened at a show in Florida there was 60 people at. You know, it didn't look like it was packed to the gills. I couldn't tell you the name of the promotion right off the top of my head right now. Couldn't tell you the guy he was working right off the top of my head right now. But when you said Steel Horse, all three of us knew exactly what happened. And one thing happens, and it starts to move around, and the next thing you know, you're that guy. Now, and some guys that won't stick to. I would imagine that there was a time where the Joey Ryan crotch spot that kind of blew up, or that guy that I keep seeing now on the damn hoverboard doing spots. There was a time where that would have killed him. That just would have been the end of you. Those kinds of things you can use to your advantage. So it's a really weird line to walk. The Young Bucks are another example of that. There was a time, and the old timers still just can't stand them now. There was a time where that would have just killed them in the business, but now there's a different kind of crowd that really loves that. And again, that's a different kind of credibility that we internally have to fight against, because I'm of the mind that I don't particularly care for some of the antics that are going on. But there are some shows now that if I went in there with if we had Shane Marks and Jimmy Rave to go in there and tell a story in the ring, and you know pace build and then explode in the end, that crowd would have just been dead for. And it's a very weird line that we all kind of have to walk now to determine what is credible, what's not. And I think it's only going to get worse. I don't think we put that smoke back in the genie lamp.
Oh no! I mean, with the world of the internet, it's everything so easy to access. You know, so much knowledge and so much negativity is easy to be gained just at a click of the button now. You know, so
right.
It's a lot different now than it was in the '80s. You know, when in the '70s when there wasn't internet and before cable TV and you know. So you got everything at your fingertips now, you know, so people are way much wiser and smarter. They can just Google it.
Right. And do you think, Woody, as you know, if you flash back to when you were 5, 6 years into the business versus now, was it harder, easier, or just different? Given the technology gaps that existed between then and now, were you was it harder for you to find out who to talk to get on a show back then, or was it just a different way?
Yeah, it was a lot different. You know, either to get a spot on a show, a lot of times you'd have to show up before the show started. You'd have to try out, work out with a booker, or you know, that was back. in VHS days, so you could send them a tape and by mail. You know, it wasn't a click and paste deal then. You know, you couldn't find federations like you could now. You know, the accessibility to find a show somewhere is easy, you know, compared to where it used to be. So the only way you'd find out years ago was through the boys, usually, you know.
Yeah. But by the same token, you know, again, if you found out from the boys, then at least you probably had an in, or at least knew what to expect, because I couldn't imagine, you know, if I was trying to get a book in, you know, I knew I was coming through State X, and I'm just looking on, you know, Facebook or, you know, whatever indie aggregator site that you might go to, that you just look through a group and say, oh, there's a place that's, you know, 20 miles from the other place I'm going to. Let me check them out. Having to walk into that seems insane to me, because you do not know what you're walking into this day and age.
That's a fact.
There's, you know, there's just so many weird things that go on.
Yeah, it's really crazy, because, you know, like you were saying, when you usually knew somebody that had an in, and usually a guy's word was good, you know, hey, this guy's a good wrestler. And nowadays, to me, and I could be wrong, there seems to be way more mini wrestlers than there used to be. And, you know, so
a lot of them.
The word's not always that good, it don't seem like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And what are some of the things that guys do that kind of chip away at that credibility with you, Woody?
Say that again, please.
Like, what are some of the things that you observe, and just over your career as a performer and you know, a booker and a promoter, what are some of the things, the pet peeves you have that'll make you turn on a guy that you just see over and over?
We're gonna be here all day now.
I'll keep it a thing or two. You know, one of them is locker room etiquette, and one of them's, you know, being able to do what you're told. What I see on social media now, a lot of stuff you see, you know, and I think a lot of guys don't think before they hit that send button or post button, you know, they don't realize they have fans and kids and stuff that follow them. And I think social media is probably my biggest gripe, because you know, the world's smart already, and we're really quick to smarten up. Even myself, I'm not going to say, but there's some things, you know, bickering back and forth between guys and stuff, you know, just show up and do your job and leave, you know, but a lot of guys just can't do that anymore.
It's hard to do right sometimes. Scott, same for you. What are some of the things that you see in the ring as you're observing and you're making your reports? What's the new trend that you just cannot stand right now?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I mean, there's just so many different styles and so many different guys that add in their own way or have their own way of going about things. I don't know. I would say just where they go out to the ring and you can tell that everything they do is something that has been called in the back. And I'm no expert on matches and match psychology and stuff. You know, I can just tell you as a fan, you know, do I like it or does it make sense to me as a fan? But, you know, I can't tell you you should have put this kind of spot here, this kind of spot there. I can't do that. But as far as just like seeing matches where they just stand there and wait on each other, and then if somebody misses something, then it's like, oh no, the whole match is off now. And you know, it's just guys that don't know that style of being able to just keep it going and work in the ring. They're just working off of what they've already talked about. I think that's the big pet peeve, and that's the big thing that I see now.
Yeah, I can tell you mine is dives. I'm so tired of dives that I don't know what to do. I am sick to death of the first 2 minutes somebody takes a powder, and then the next thing you know, some guy's bouncing around in the ring. Like, I'm done with it. I'm so finished with it, because now that thing that used to be like, oh man, this is insane, it's just like, yeah, okay, wait for him to get there. Now he's there. I go jump on him. Now stand up and go, hey. And then essentially just roll back into the ring and then just reset. The dive didn't do anything. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's down. Nobody's affected by it. You just jumped out. Both of you fell down, and now you're up. And it makes me insane. A lot of times, you know, pay-per-views come over. I'll usually have some of my guys over, and they know when the first dive comes that I'm just going to blow a gasket. I'm going to go absolutely crazy on stupid dives. I've just had enough. And that, I think Scott makes a really good point about sometimes you just got to know how to get in there and do the thing. Just to get in there and do it. Woody, you certainly came up in a time where it did not appear to be as, well, yeah, let me just ask it that way. Was it less choreographed when you were coming up in general?
Well, yes, it was, because the spots we did were more simple. I mean, what it is, over time, people's trying to one-up the other. You know, they're trying to one-up the match, you know. So the spots get crazier and more difficult and harder to keep up with. But you know what, Scott was – one thing Scott was saying is I think part of being a great worker is when you do blow that spot is be able to cover it and get back in there and make them forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe, you know, that spots were a lot simpler back when I started. You know, it was, you know, arm drag, hip toss, drop kick, scoot. You know, now it's a lot more, you know, handstand, flip, you know, run up a corner, arm drag, you know what I'm saying.
And I don't even think that there's anything wrong with that necessarily. It's just, again, it's kind of like, you know, if you're watching a basketball game, you don't all have to play like the Golden. There's nothing wrong with how the Golden State Warriors play. They play a different way than, you know, the Celtics played back in the 80s. But at the same time, they can all dribble the ball, and they can all pass with two hands, and they can all, you know, maintain their defensive assignments. There is room in wrestling for all the styles. There truly is. But at the same time, if the bare bones fundamentals aren't covered, you're going down a bad road. You're just going down a road that you can't get out of, because as you observe anything, when somebody does something to somebody that should kill them and it doesn't, and again, that goes back to credibility, because if I put you on in the second spot and I need the second spot match and you go out there and blow it out like it's the main event, then what are my main event guys supposed to do? And so how do you coach that, Woody? What are you telling guys to put that into context for them?
Well, I try to book a lot of times. I try to set my talent in sequence set towards the main event. It don't always work that way, but as far as, you know, I always try to tell the guys, get out there and tell the story. And you know, I told them last night before the show started, you know, do what you do, but make it make sense. You know, make it tell that story. Let's let the fans get involved in it. Course, you know, a lot of times you can preach and preach and preach, but it don't happen. You know, something you know, try to get them to snatch the psychology part is hard to do, you know, but you just have to keep beating it and hopefully they catch on to it one day.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about kind of what the boys can do to be credible, and there's certainly a lot of that. But, you know, the other side of it is, what can the promotions themselves do, A, to the boys to be credible, and B, and as importantly, if not more so, to the paying customer? How do you maintain that credibility? Scott, you're a guy who is primarily, you know, in the stands doing your thing. So what are some of the things that you see out of promotions that keep you going back because you believe that that promotion is going to give you your money's worth?
Well, I think it really starts with a great poster. I think a great poster wins people over. I think PCW does a great job of that. Empire Wrestling does a pretty good job of that with Will Force, with Force FX Graphics, which he's going to kill me because I always apparently leave him out of talking about him. But he does a great job, and now he's going to stop doing posters, so now I'm putting him over, apparently.
Stuff
like that, yeah. But I just think it's what can somebody find out about what you're going to do before you do it. And Woody has started doing for the Georgia Premier Wrestling, and I guess for some of the DSCW stuff too, he started doing some of those interview segments, the little promos. And
yeah.
I think his posters have improved and are a work in progress. Sorry, Woody, but
sorry, I'm doing the best.
Yeah, but I mean they're much better than they have been. But it's just people want to know what they're walking into because now there are so many horror stories of we went there and we had to pee in the sink and stuff like that.
And I wish that wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true. I wish that most shows didn't run out of nacho cheese by match two. And that, you know, those kind of things get into the grunt work that nobody wants to do. It is simple as pie to just be, you know, the booker. It's not easy, but it's the process is simple. I know who's coming. I know the story I want to tell. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I need you to do. Go out there and do it. And then you just cross your fingers and you look at the monitor and then, or you don't. One of the two. You either watch it or you don't, or you just listen to the crowd. So that is, you know, that is kind of self-contained. But outside of that, somebody's got to keep toilet paper in the bathroom. And somebody's got to keep the hot dogs warm. And somebody's got to order enough pizza and not too much pizza. And, again, those are the things that if you can do that consistently, you'll probably win. You'll at least be known as a show that takes care of the fans. And I think Woody has done one of the better jobs of anybody at that because now you branched out and you're doing all these different towns, but Blue Ridge is still home base and you still make sure to give them a good thing. What did you start out that way, or did you have to learn some hard lessons coming through?
Oh, I had to learn some really hard lessons. You know, it was a work in progress. I'd never promoted before. But the only promoting I'd ever done was some spot shows at fairs and stuff like that. And I'd never done anything on a regular basis, you know. And I've learned stuff with DSCW, and then, you know, like I said, me and Darryl run Georgia Premier Wrestling now, and he brings a lot to the table that helps me. You know, his word of advice from a fan's perspective, he's kind of told me, you know, we should do this, we should do that. And I'm not beyond, you know, a word of advice. I mean, Scott gives me advice all the time, and I take some of it, and some of it I throw out the window. But it's a working process. I think you have to care about your fans, and I care about my fans because without my fans, there wouldn't be a wrestling show. And so that's something you've learned. You know, you're not going to make everybody happy, but you try to keep the majority happy of all times. You know, like you said, keeping the toilet paper stocked. You know, keeping the bathrooms clean. Common courtesy and just caring about people in general, and I think that's where it all comes from.
And those little things can grow a show so much more quickly than just bringing in the best possible talent. I mean, when we started in Porterdale, that building had just been it had, I don't know how long it had just sat there. But Tim Savage bought it, and he had heard about some PCW shows in Avondale and thought we wanted to try. You know, it was just a very bare bones venue when we walked in there. But it was, you know, we treated it like home. And slowly but surely, coat of paint gets put on the wall. And then, you know, a couple decorations get hung. And then the air conditioning gets fine-tuned, and the heater gets fine-tuned, and then there's a bar in the back, and now there's a restaurant in the front. And we're lucky because we do have a very nice space that we're not responsible for solely. But at the same time, you know, we were there to help grow the place. And you get into those relationships with, you know, if you take care of the building and you make sure that the show runs on time and you do all those tiny little things, next thing you know, you don't have to worry about it anymore because now you've put the processes in place where it just gets taken care of. And if you can get there, then you're in the groove. And I think that that's what separates, you know, the good from the bad. Every year with the awards, you hear the same names in most cases over and over and over. And you can look up and down the cards and you'll say, okay, that talent works there and that talent works there and that talent works there. But underneath all that, it's all the guys that run the show for the people and take care of the people. So at the end of the year, one of us here made a list. And you talk about credibility. Scott, that list of yours, I heard more about the thing before I ever even saw it, before I ever laid eyes on it. And I had to ask my, what damn list are you talking about? What are we talking about? Oh, some dude somewhere made a list. I'm like, what dude? I don't know, some Scott dude. It's like, Hensley made a list? Okay, now I understand why you're so mad. So walk us through your inbox after that thing, Scott.
There wasn't really a lot of messages to me. I think people would much rather complain or just post something about being upset or about how they never get noticed and some of this stuff like that. And more people messaged me about other people's comments on their Facebook pages than anybody really messaged me about their ranking or whatever. I had, I would say I had probably a dozen wrestlers message me and say, you know, hey, thanks for including me. And, I mean, ultimately, and it's hilarious how, you know, I mentioned Ace Rockwell and how he's always got my back, and it was hilarious because anytime he saw somebody complaining about it, he went on there and he was like, you know what? You're wrong because it's his opinion. He's like, he can have an opinion. It's like, it's not right or wrong, but you're wrong for complaining because it's just an opinion. And so I actually, after people complained or after people told me about people complaining, I just did a search on Facebook for my list and who was talking about it because a lot of them linked to it. And I went through and I put comments on most of the things, and most people went from F that guy and who does he think he is to, oh, okay.
It's funny how people's opinion change when you call them out on it easily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's amazing.
Was your process like, Scott, to come up with it? You know, what were you looking at?
Well, I was sitting at work in December, and I had a break, and I just thought about, I wonder if I come up with some criteria and I make some categories and numerically rank a bunch of guys, how many guys can I think of that I really like or respect something about them, or it's somebody that's sort of respected in their craft in professional wrestling? And then, you know, what kind of criteria will I do? And, you know, I fill out spreadsheets all day long in my shoot job. And so I made an Excel spreadsheet, and I put in names, and I came up with a list. And then some of the ties I sort of, tweaked a little bit. And then I sort of ran it by a couple people that I really respected. And, you know, some of them said, oh, you forgot this guy, or what about this guy? And so there were names that I added, and names that I moved up based on some of that stuff. But, you know, overall, it is just my list, and a lot of the people that complained, I just told them, hey, I've never seen you before. You don't even know who I am. I don't know who you are either.
And that's a good point, because whose fault is that? If you haven't seen a guy, and this comes up every year, you know, like you said, there's always guys who feel like they go unnoticed. And whose fault is it if I don't know who wrestler X is?
It's their fault because they stay at, you know, the wrestling show in Podunk, Kentucky, you know, once a week, every week, you know, for 365 days a year. If you don't get out, nobody's going to know who you are.
I mean, that's it, right? That's all there is to it. Is you got to move around, man. You got to get out there and get in it. You got to put some miles on the car, like Scott said. You got to put some miles on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, with social media, man, get out there and hammer it. You know, let the world know you're out there. Let the world know you're looking for bookings. It's so much easier to get bookings now because here's one of my videos. Here's my resume. You know, here's my price. What do you think? You know, that's all you got to do. Just keep hammering them. You know, and it's like a lot of times a guy will contact me, and I'll say, dude, I'm booked up for a couple of months. Keep hitting me back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll hit me back at the right time, and then I'll book him. But
the door's never closed.
Yeah, but you got to keep hammering away at it and keep pushing yourself, marketing yourself. And there's just no drive. Some guys are happy with being stuck in one place. Me and Scott's had this conversation before. You know, some of these guys are just they're happy with being weekend warriors in Podunk, Kentucky. So,
yeah, and as long as you're safe and not hurting anybody, I'm fine with that too. You know, do your thing. If that's what your life allows you to do is wrestle one show near your house. If you're not hurting anybody and you're not a complete jackass, then go do it. But you cannot expect people to know you if you're not out and about. And you, God, it just helps so much. I know that I've been able to do what I've been able to do strictly for that fact, is that I was out and around the right people. I could not pull off a show every other week. If I had not gone to Woody's, if I'd not gone to Empire, if I'd not gone to UIW or Peach State, because while there are a lot more wrestlers, there's not more good ones.
Agreed.
And there's certainly more promotions that those guys can get to. And it's tough. It is a struggle sometimes to make it happen, and you got to have those connections. And if you're not on the show, sometimes you just got to get in the car and ride. You know, sometimes you just got to ride with a guy who is on the show, because that's the network. And it's not very difficult, because all of us who are either observing wrestling or in wrestling or just in love with it, there's nothing more than we'd like to do than sit around and gab about wrestling. It's Sunday afternoon. Every one of us has something else we could be doing. As a matter of fact, I'm in my office right now. I'm at work.
My wife went hiking without me, so yeah.
But we love to gab about this stuff.
We do. I hate to cut you off here a little bit. Scott's got a ministry show coming up. He's promoting a show. Oh, you want to tell us a little bit about it, Scott?
Sure. I do have a show coming up on Friday, February 19th at my church's gym. We are going to scare my church people to death with professional wrestling. And it is a fundraiser benefit for Jamaican missions. My wife and I went to Jamaica last year and taught baseball and the gospel, and so we're going to go back at the end of July and do that again. So we are collecting baseball gloves and money to go and do that once again. And so we've called it Catch Some Wrestling to to tie in the baseball and the wrestling there. But the main event, which this is an exclusive, I guess, is going to be Seven versus Ace Rockwell. So my church people will surely be terrified by Seven.
Oh, my goodness. the deadly sin Seven comes to church.
And, you know, I've had some guys hit me up and they say, you know, hey, tell me about that show or whatever, you know, sort of, you know, do you have a spot for me, something like that. And some of them, I'm like, you know, this is too sensitive of a situation. I don't want to put you in a situation where if you say the word sucks, that we're never going to be able to have an event again.
Yep.
And Seven actually asked, he said, he goes, is Dan managing me? And
I'd say no.
Dan Wilson.
I'd say no.
I said Dan's just a little too extreme for this show. He said no. He goes, what about like just regular Dan? I said, yeah, regular Dan's too extreme too.
Regular Dan might be worse.
That's so funny. My partner told me one time. You can book anybody you want to, but don't bring that guy with a goat head. Okay, buddy, whatever you want.
Man, Scott does not make it easy on himself when it comes to putting on a show, because if I see a thing that just pops up out of nowhere, like Scenic City did, and it's a tournament, I kind of raise an eyebrow like that. What's going on here? Is somebody just making a money grab? What are they pulling? And then likewise, if I see Jesus wrestling, I look with both eyebrows up like, I know this game. I've seen this fall apart too many times. There was a promotion called Christians Gone Wild not long ago.
Oh,
I know this game. So like, what do you do, Scott, to make sure that, because it's hard to do those two things. Those two things are very difficult to pull off, and especially when you don't have an established base. What did you do for Scenic City? And like you just said, we just kind of talked about what you're doing for the church show to make sure that that show goes off in front of that audience the way it should. But what are some of the things that you had to get out in front of and harp on to make sure those things worked?
Well, you just got to make sure that the guys realize that it's a family-friendly environment. You just have to really communicate and set those expectations ahead of time. And I think that's one of the things that just isn't done. I think a lot of people sort of just expect a certain level of what I would call professionalism. But I think that a lot of professional wrestlers now, I see another big pet peeve of mine that Woody really hit on, is just the way that they communicate and, you know, with the boys, whatever. But when you communicate in a public forum where everybody sees it, then if you're talking about, you know, blazing it up and, you know, whatever your extracurriculars are with whoever you're doing it with, then, I mean, it is going to affect whatever you're associated with, because people are not going to want to bring their children around you. And I just think unless you do have a specifically adult-oriented product, then I think it does affect the bottom line.
I would agree. And we're kind of the bridge, much less than we used to be. With the absence of Stephen Platinum, things have a way of calming down. You know, the show sort of reflects the guy who's running it, and it's a little calmer a little bit now, but I've still got a little edge to me too, so sometimes I have to check myself because, I kind of grew up watching, you know, I got into this watching Steve's product, which makes the current situation there that much more difficult. But at any rate, kind of grew up on that thing, watching his stuff, and I love DCW and all that stuff, and so I kind of want to get crazy sometimes, but you're right. I got to keep them babies happy. I got to scare them every now and then, though. I will let a guy put a hole in the wall, and we'll just deal with it from time to time, but they're going to have to learn sometime. And Woody, that's the thing. Anybody's been to your locker room, we all know the drill. We all know your speech, and that was one of the first things that struck me coming in there. But you, every show, no bones about it, guys, this is family friendly. Have you ever been tempted to get outside the box a little bit and get a little weird?
You know, there's sometimes. I think in certain towns and certain areas, you can get a little edgy. Like for say, in Porterdale or in Chattanooga, I think you can get a little edgy, you know. I have been tempted, and I think about it a lot, you know, but then I have to reel myself back in. I try to keep it clean, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we all have that edgy side. If I would have done some of the stuff I did when I was wrestling, I'd have fired myself, you know, when I was wrestling.
I thought you would have.
I did the centerfold gimmick with Kenny Arden.
The centerfold thing. There's not one thing you did as the centerfold that you would do in Blue Ridge, is it? Not one thing. There's literally not a thing that you would do.
I don't know. We did some pretty raunchy spots, you know, the 69 spot and all kinds of stuff. You know, it was we did some raunchy stuff that I would never do now. And now that I look back at it, I go, what the hell was I thinking? And
Oddly enough, I was in a conversation last night in the locker room with someone who I respect to the absolute utmost, and he said, you know, and we were having a very similar discussion this about kind of where's the line, what do you do? And he says, at the end of the day, you got to practice how you play. And that made a lot of sense, because if you are someone who's doing this to try to get somewhere on the next level, you can't make a habit of doing things that they're not going to allow you to do. And I think up top at anywhere that someone has a contract to work for right now, I don't think you're not going to stretch that envelope. You're not going to push the envelope too much. It's everything is sort of very, maybe family friendly is not the encompassing term like we would use here, but, and I hate to say PG because that has such a connotation, but that's what it is. It's a PG world. And if you get into the habit of cursing on the mic and, you know, going too far, then you can't break that habit. You know, you feel like you got to do that to get yourself over. You know, nobody is more vicious and vile than Jeff G. Bailey. Nobody. You know, he's Dan Wilson on 11. But even Jeff on the microphone will not swear to a degree. I mean, he's not gonna violate FCC regulations on the microphone. Now, ringside, anything goes, and that's another one of those things where I'm kind of like, if there's not a microphone and you're not talking directly to the crowd, I'm probably not gonna say a word. Probably just gonna, you know, that happens. You know, as long as you're not just a habitual offender, I'm pretty cool with that. But yeah, I think everybody has to have a line, and again, that gets back to that credibility thing. Can I trust you to go out in front of the people that paid to see this show? Because I've got to be here next week. You don't.
Yeah.
You do not.
You know.
Well, gentlemen, we have made it through an hour yet again, by hook or by crook. We have sit here and gabbed like three ladies in the sewing circle, and we've made it through. There's something I think we're going to try next week, Woody, that you and I have talked about since we kind of started pitching this thing to put it together, and we talked about doing sort of a match anatomy, that we're going to find somebody's match, some local guy's match on the old internet. It might be good, it might be bad, I don't know yet, but we're going to find one, we're going to agree on it, and Woody and I are going to sit as we'll probably, you know, view it a couple times to have some things to say, but as we're going through the show, we're going to sit here and watch it. So the first, you know, few minutes of the show will be us commenting you through a video. We'll put out what that thing is going to be, send some links out so everybody can watch it along with us. And somebody's going to get put on blast. I bet Scott Hensley would be up for that, too.
Hensley report coming.
There it comes. Hey, I'll do it with one condition. As long as it's not any of my matches.
Oh. I've been watching this Abdullah thing. Maybe we just start there.
Yeah, what about Jimmy Hodge? We'll do a Jimmy Hodge match.
We'll do a Jimmy Hodge one. We'll just slip it in there.
That's,
well, Scott, thank
I'm
you for being on with us, man.
Hey, thanks for having
me. I think it's good for people to hear your voice. Yes, I mean, you're certainly known on the internet community, but people may not know you as much. And I'm just going to tell you, Porterdale's not that far. We'll keep a seat for you. we won't curse too much. Be glad to have you down. Larry Goodman keeps pushing us off for Southern Fried, so I need to have somebody in my pocket. And, you know, we're 30 minutes away from there, so you can see both main events if you want to. And that goes for anybody else out there listening. First and third Saturdays in Porterdale, Georgia, is PCW time. We'll be glad to have you. Every day that ends in a Y is Georgia Premier or Blue Ridge time. Empire's up there doing their thing. There's a lot of good wrestling, even though old gripey men like us will complain and say there's not as much of it. There is a lot of good wrestling. And on this very network, there is a lot of good talk. Peach State Pandemonium has been doing their thing. And Larry Goodman does a fine job on Tipping Point, even though he's being brought down by an Asian psychopath. We invite you all to join us again in 2 weeks here for Three the Hard Way. Next week in this very spot, you can hear Tipping Point. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.